use your employment rights to put your employer on notice about your right to be treated fairly and respectfully at work. You're listening to the Employment Rights Online podcast, where we discuss everything employment rights and the job. Hi there. This week we look at the often hidden issue of disability discrimination in the workplace and how to challenge it. With a particular focus on mental health concerns, disability can often feel like the hidden family member at work. So we pay particular attention to the importance of reasonable adjustments and their role in helping you to remain at work. In today's workforce, everyone deserves an equal opportunity and a respectful working environment, regardless of the disabilities they may have. However, navigating the workplace can sometimes be more challenging for individuals with disabilities. So, recognising and understanding disability discrimination is the first step towards ensuring fairness and equality in the workplace. So, what is disability discrimination? Under the Equality Act 2010, disability discrimination happens when an individual with a disability is treated less favourably than others because of something connected to their disability. The Act covers all aspects of employment, including recruitment, employment terms and conditions, promotions, transfers, training opportunities, and dismissals. So what should you look for if you feel you are being discriminated against because of your disability? How would you know you're being discriminated against? Well, as with all discriminatory behaviour, there are some red flags to look out for, and we're going to look at six of them now. The first red flag is finding yourself excluded from meetings or projects. If you find you're consistently left out of meetings, or you're not being considered for projects, or you're not given access to training that could help you to compete for specific projects with your colleagues, and you suspect this is due to your disability, this could be a sign of discrimination. If you know, for example, that your knowledge, skills, and fit for the role is on par with everyone else, but the only difference between you is that you are disabled, with everything your disability brings with it, you may feel that it's the need to have time off for appointments, or you needing additional support at work, or you having more sick days than your colleagues due to the characteristics of your disability, you may have a feeling that all of this could easily have put off your employer from seeing beyond your capabilities and seeing the real you and the asset you would bring to the new role. And if you suspect this is happening, you might be seeing a discrimination red flag. The next red flag is lack of accessibility. An inaccessible workplace, whether in terms of physical access or access to information and communication, without efforts to accommodate your needs, could indicate discrimination. Remember, access is not just a physical thing. As an employee with a disability, especially a hidden disability, like mental health, you should not be prevented from doing your job because your employer has not given the necessary consideration to how you might need to access information and communication because of your disability. And this brings us on to red flag number three, which is reasonable adjustments. Reasonable adjustments are changes made at work to help people with disabilities to do their jobs well and comfortably. When it comes to reasonable adjustments, your employer cannot simply rely on medical evidence to prove you are disabled. Medical evidence is referred to as the medical model of disability. Medical evidence is important because it uses diagnosis to determine if you are ill and or disabled. However, from an employment rights position, medical evidence is only part of the guidance your employer needs to look at. The other part of the guidance is the Equality Act, which doesn't use the medical model of disability. The Equality Act uses the social model of disability, and with your mental health condition, will define you as disabled if you have a physical or mental impairment and your impairment has a substantial and long-term adverse effect on your ability to carry out normal day-to-day activities, including your job. So anyone at work who may be trying to say you are not disabled because you don't have a medical diagnosis could be doing so to question their responsibility to make reasonable adjustments for you. It is accepted that mental health concerns can be both permanent and temporary, but research shows that it is usually when mental health concerns at work are temporary or when there has been a change in your mental health that your employer may believe the change will pass or is not long lasting. And this is usually when your employer may try to get around having to make reasonable adjustments for you whilst you are at work. It also is not the case that you must have a diagnosis at the time you need reasonable adjustments. No. You can be disabled under the Equality Act and require reasonable adjustments at the time your condition prevents you from carrying out your day-to-day activities. And then, at a later time, you may receive a diagnosis. What we're trying to say here is that from an employer's perspective, it is how your mental health impacts on your ability to live your day-to-day life and do your job, which your employer should focus on at the material time when thinking about the need to make reasonable adjustments for you so you can stay in your job and do your work. Red flag number 4 is being faced with inappropriate comments or behaviours about disability at work. The behaviour doesn't have to directly be about you. So jokes and comments or any behaviour that makes you feel uncomfortable or undervalued because of your disability are not acceptable. The 5th red flag is dismissal or redundancy. Being selected for redundancy or dismissal because of issues related to your disability without any attempt to reasonably accommodate your needs could be discriminatory. Picking you out of the redundancy lineup because your boss feels your disability demands, in inverted commas, are just not worth the hassle, or because your boss or your colleagues think that you think you're special and want special treatment, is not on and could be a discrimination red flag. And then the final red flag we want to talk about is the refusal of your flexible working requests. If flexible working arrangements would help you to better manage your disability and your employer unjustly refuses to allow you to work flexibly, this might also be a discrimination red flag. And here, we're also looking at hybrid working, which has now become a standard feature of the working week. If you need it and it helps your disability, but your employer refuses to consider it, this might also be a discrimination red flag. Okay, so you identify with some of these discriminatory behaviours at work. How do you then form what's happening into complaint language? Well, here, there are 5 areas of disability discrimination around which you could make your complaint. The first is direct discrimination. This is when you're treated worse than a colleague in a similar situation because of your disability. For example, If you're passed over for a promotion solely because of your disability, that's direct discrimination. Next is indirect discrimination, and this occurs when a workplace policy, criteria, or practice applies to all employees but puts those with a disability at a disadvantage. An example of this might be that having a no hybrid working policy for all employees is the way the employer is moving. And at face value, it might seem like an equal thing to do, treating everybody the same. But having a blanket policy like this might disproportionately affect you if you need adjustments in your working location to better manage your disability. Maybe working from home 2 days a week helps your mental health to settle down. So a blanket policy won't help you. And if a blanket policy is applied, that may be indirect discrimination. The third complaint area is a failure to make reasonable adjustments, which we've spoken about. And this is a specific complaint that can only be used by workers with a disability. No other employee or worker from a protected characteristic group can use this complaint. As the law stands, employers are required to make reasonable adjustments to help disabled employees overcome disadvantages at work. If your employer refuses to make these adjustments, such as providing special equipment or modifying your work patterns, this failure to act might be considered discrimination. Next is harassment. Harassment related to your disability can create a hostile, degrading, or offensive environment for you. Harassment could include behaviours like making derogatory comments or jokes about your disability. And the final complaint area is victimisation. Victimisation occurs when you're treated poorly because or after you've made a complaint about disability discrimination or you've supported someone else who has also made a complaint. So these are the key areas you can use to organise your experiences, to give some structure to any complaints you may need to make. And that's it for this week. Our takeaways for this week are that understanding your rights and being able to recognise disability discrimination is crucial for you if you have a disability. Once you recognise how disability discrimination may be practised in your workplace, and you then understand how to name it and organise your thoughts into a complaint, you will then be able to make decisions about how you wish to tackle what's happening to make it stop. Remember, you're not alone, and support is available to help you navigate these challenges. If you need help with disability discrimination concerns or with any other employment rights matter you may have, you can find all our support links at the bottom of the show notes for this episode. And if you would like to book a consultation with us to look at bullying or abuse which you may be suffering at work or any other employment rights concern you may have, you can email us at employmentrightsonline@gmail.com. Alternatively, you can go directly to our consultations booking page using the consultations link, which is also in the show notes. Finally, remember you can help us by sharing our podcast information with your family, friends and colleagues, and by leaving us a review on iTunes or a rating on Spotify if you enjoy our podcasts. Until next week, have the most informative Employment Rights Week that you can. Bye for now.